like their last year, just to get it going forward. But now the way they have the schedule, I think it's like, how they can play there.
Recording in progress.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the meeting, City Council meeting for Tuesday, August 8th. We always start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Next, we have the important roll call by the clerk.
Koch?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Soling?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Cornelius?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I'm going to make one amendment to the agenda under presentations. Item one, we're going to move that to third so we can do the other two items before that. So, skipping item one for now and going to item two, I think, Tim, is this something you want to talk about? The Yorkville Education Foundation golf outing check presentation was for what, $5,799?
Yeah, this is part of the partnership with the school district. We did golf outing back in the season. We've done this last few years. This is a partnership between the school and the city. It's been a great partnership with the Education Foundation. We have members here. So part of those funds come back to the Park and Rec to help for many of the events we do for free throughout the community. And then they take some of the funds that they use to help the schools and the teachers within the schools with their mission statement. So we have some of the members here tonight to take a picture to give them their check.
Who are you giving the check to?
I think Sean from the Education Foundation is here.
Nice. Anyone else?
Joanna.
Okay. Yeah, come on up. If you want to say something, go ahead, please. It was a good event. The weather was real nice this year, wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, but I had to think. I got the dolphins in my mind, but yeah, it was real nice. Come on forward. Tim, you got the check?
Got the check and the big check.
So you can have whichever one you want, but only one counts.
Yes. Give the one that
cashes. Almost. That was expired,
but. Yeah, that's not saying much. I would never report.
Sure, I'll get in.
I didn't know what you're here for now.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Oh, here. You can hold it. You two hold it. So we got a smile for the camera here. So you want to say anything at all?
I just want to thank all everybody that came out and volunteered.
Keep that too. Did they keep it?
No,
we'll take it. That
back.
Oh, it's got white erase board. Okay, yeah. Whatever.
No, thank you everybody that came out, especially all the volunteers. Leslie couldn't be here tonight, but she was a big part of it. And we raised, obviously, this plus another about $2,900, so around $8,500 total for the foundation.
Nice. So what are you able to do with that?
We use it to just support all of our teachers and staff throughout the year on different programs.
Nice.
And obviously it goes back to the kids in the school. So.
That's awesome. The community keeps growing. I don't know how many teachers there are, so it's a great help.
Yep.
So,
thank you both. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to next year.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, it's really down. I think I'm just running the meeting from here. It's kind of nice. So next, I think, Jim, you're up here next, right?
Yes, sir.
We have, oh yes, Ketchmark. You were detective of the year. That's awesome. Let's hear about that. I wore my older shirt for tonight. I was gifted one of these. It was a very nice gift. Thank you very much.
There's only so many of those made, so.
Especially in a triple extra large.
They come on small size. They're small.
Thank you. Yeah, really, I'm normally medium.
There you go. So I want to talk really quick about, not actually really quick, I want to talk about Detective Ketchmark and his award for Detective of the Year with the Kendall County Chiefs of Police Association. Before I get into that, we also want to recognize several of our officers, several of which were here tonight, that have also received Life Saving and Valor Award for the fire of the house on Georgiana. They were recognized previously at a city council meeting. They also received several awards at the County Chiefs Association, respect for love, and so I'm going to make sure I mention. So we're here to honor Detective Ketchmark and his wife Megan because she puts up with everything as the wives do of us police officers. So Matt is a 16-year veteran of Yorkville PD. He's been with the field operations where he started his career. He was a field training officer, an officer in charge, and he very quickly moved to the detective division Support Services Division within the Police Department, where he has excelled in the position. I've had the pleasure of knowing Matt for almost 18 years now, 16 with Europe, filmed about a year, almost 2 years during his internship when he was coming out of college. So Matt is one of those positive people that come into the job every single day. You rarely catch him in a bad mood. I come in every morning and say good morning, and he's the first one to always respond right back, and so it's awesome having him there. Matt is also on the Kendall County Major Crimes Task Force. He has headed up the evidence unit of the Kendall County Major Crimes Task Force. We had 6 call-outs last year. He attended 5 of them. He is that guy you want at a scene. So I'm going to cover 4 really quick cases. There's no way I can memorize it all. I'm old, number one, and number two, there's just a lot here. So I'm going to talk about 4 cases. So during the 2022 calendar year, Detective Ketchmark was assigned 45 criminal investigation cases of various complexity throughout the year. Investigations involving frauds, sex assaults, identity thefts, thefts, aggravated battery, child pornography, and various other crimes. The first case I'm going to talk about is in January of 2021. Detective Ketchmark was assigned a financial exploitation of the elderly investigation. That investigation was regarding a 96-year-old female with dementia who had a financial advisor, and that financial advisor had stolen reportedly in excess of $1 million from her. Over the next 22 months, Detective Ketchmark worked tirelessly in this investigation by obtaining 16 grand jury subpoenas, interviewing multiple witnesses, worked alongside several different federal agencies, and if you know the federal government, it's very difficult to work with the federal agencies, okay? Including the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. In November of 22, Detective Ketchmark was able to successfully charge the offender with 10 counts of financial exploitation of an elderly person, 2 counts of financial exploitation of an elderly person, both felonies, 7 counts of theft, 4 additional counts of class 2 felony thefts. Detective Ketchmark worked diligently on this investigation for 2 years, fighting for a victim that was unable to fight for herself. Second case, January of 2022, it was a busy first quarter. Our patrol division, some of which you see here, responded to the Mulhern Court apartments for a domestic. During the course of that investigation, it was quickly learned by our patrol officers that there was something a little bit more going on. Detective Ketchmark came out, was able to interview and obtain warrants, and eventually charging an individual with aggravated criminal sexual abuse as he was having relationships with a non-family member. Case number 3, March of 2022, Detective Ketchmark responded to assist patrol investigating the shooting in our Marketplace apartments. In that incident, one person was struck by gunfire, not life-threatening. Detective Ketchmark responded to the police department, conducted interviews, and with the word of the patrol officers on scene and Detective Ketchmark's word, we were able to charge the offender with the weapon with several felonies, along with the other person that was trying to obstruct the investigation with the In May of 2022, Yorkville patrol officers took a report of criminal sexual assault that occurred in May. The victim resides in another state, was making the report from her residence via telephone. The victim was in Michigan. Detective Ketchmark was assigned to follow up investigation to the case. During that, he traveled to Michigan, obtained search warrants, conducted multiple interviews, and an interview of the suspect. At the end of the investigation, which obviously took several months, Detective Ketchmark was able to successfully charge the offender with 1 count of criminal sexual assault. There's a lot of cases that go out that our detectives work every single day. They do an amazing job, obviously, as referenced here. But it starts with our patrol division making sure they do the right thing when it needs to be done to bring it to our investigators to make sure that they can follow up on the case for successful conclusion. And that's exactly what Matt did. So, congratulations.
You want to talk?
No, you pretty much said everything. Thank you. How's the
rest of
that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We'll do your group first and then I'll roll them up. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Are you wearing one of your shirts?
Not yet.
After.
After it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now everybody else.
I work all the time.
I'm good.
Right.
Nope, I'm good.
Thank you.
You want to do it in front of this thing? You're good?
Yep.
Good. Well, congrats. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
To the UDO, which is Unified Development Ordinance lot size discussion. And I brought this up at the last meeting, that's something the committee's talking about. And I had actually several aldermen ask me about this and say, what is this you're talking about? First of all, the UDO, Unified Development Ordinance, there's definitely some positives about it. It's trying to bring things together so it's easier for people looking to do, whether it's development or just a homeowner, they know where to find stuff. Everything is together in one place, so it's actually easier. It's easier for staff. It will save time for staff. But there's some things in there that I brought up last time about the density, and I had several of you ask me about it. And as I said, and Christy's going to talk about it, but just some things that concern me is some of the density that's being proposed is the standard allowed. Density would allow over 7 homes per acre, which is 42% denser than like Lakewood Springs and Plano. It's denser than that Aventura Wolf crossing where Oswego, caught some, pushback on that. So I think that's something we got to be real cautious about. I'm not in favor at all, quite honestly. But I wanted to be up front with staff. And after I talked to Bart and said some of you had some questions and concerns about it, Bart and Christie suggested, why don't we talk about it before it goes back to the UDO? At least we can give the UDO our feedback. They can recommend whatever they want. Doesn't mean we have to approve it, but I think it's important for us to understand, because this could be a potential major change if we approve it as such. So, Christie, you want to take it away?
Sure.
And this is behind me, so I'll slide out of the way.
I'm Christie Bartsdale, and I'm the Community Development Director of the City of Brookville.
Can you see over that chair?
For the past about 3 years, the city staff appointed advisory committee with the assistance of a consulting firm, Household of Maine, have worked on unifying the current development regulations in the city. So this single codified document will be called the UDO, or Unified Development Ordinance. Tonight's presentation is just geared towards a small portion of that, which is a discussion specifically about density and residential districts. So that should work.
Working?
Yeah.
No. Give this a shot here. Now try it.
Try it
now.
Oh, you got it. Perfect. So why are we doing this, which is a great question to ask. In addition to consolidating the development regulations in the city code, what we're trying to do is modernize and update the codes, create an online zoning portal, which you see at the bottom what it would look like, adding visuals, which will tell the story of the regulations better, addressing common complaints, and in this regard, with residential densities, eliminating and reducing our nonconformities. So nonconformities is simply just lots that don't comply with the stated regulations for the district. So nonconforming lots may restrict how a lot might be redeveloped in the future, or if you want to do an addition to your house, as simple as that. When looking at how many R1 nonconforming lots there were in Yorkville, we found that there were about 222 of the 264 lots zoned R1 that were less than the minimum requirements for lot size, which is 18,000 square feet. We also found that about 72% of the lots don't even meet the current minimum 100-foot lot width. So based on this, the advisory committee recommended revising the minimum lot size in the R1 district to 12,000 square feet, so a reduction of 6,000 square feet, and revising the minimum lot width to 70 feet. This is done simply to reduce the number of non-conforming lots in the R1 district. So it would go from 220, as I mentioned earlier, non-conforming lots, down to 56 lots for lot size, and 174 non-conforming lots in regards to lot width, down to 57 lots. Next slide. So the proposed changes will look like this. So on the left, there are the current regulations for the R1 district, 18,000 square foot minimum lot, 100 foot width. Houses have to be set back about 40 feet from the front property line and maintained at least 15 feet from the side lot line. So building a building would be about 30 feet. The current R1 district results in a maximum density of about 2.42 dwelling units per acre. That's what is density. For what you can see, the Sacred subdivision at the bottom. Let's see if I can at the bottom already exists in Yorkville, and it is what a typical R1 lot would look like. This is on Main Street 47. Now, on the right side is what the recommendations would look like in the real world application. For the R1 zoning recommendation of 12,000 square feet of lot area and 80-foot lot width, it would look similar to this block in Autumn Creek, which is a planned unit development. The houses would still maintain the minimum 15-foot distance from side yard and 40-foot for the front yard, but you would get one more house per acre. The same non-conforming analysis was done for the R2 district. In the R2 district, we found that a number of the non-conforming lots were less than the R1 district, and that's because most were developed as planned unit developments, meaning they had to go through a review process through staff and approved by the city council instead of just outright being permitted. But there were 31% of the lots that did not meet the 12,000 square foot minimum lot size, and about 42% of the R2 lots were less than the minimum required 80-foot lot width. So based on the analysis, the recommended changes for the new R2 zoning district would be 10,000 square feet for lot size, and which is about 2,000 less than what's required now. The advisory committee also recommended that the lot width be 70 feet, which reduces the non-conforming lots from approximately 2,600 to about 1,500. Next slide. Again, the lot on the left, the development on the left rather, is representative of the current R2 district. Lot size of 12,000 square feet, minimum lot width of 80 feet. There is a 30-foot front yard setback, and the houses can be as close to 10 feet to that interior side yard, so 20 feet between buildings, which is what we see here in the Raintree PUD as an example, and the current maximum number of houses per acre is 3 currently in the R2 district. In the proposed side on the right, the regulations will look more like this neighborhood in Bristol Bay, 10,000 square foot minimum lot size, 70-foot lot widths. Side yards would still maintain that 10-foot setback, and the rear yard decreases slightly from 40 feet to about 30 feet. So instead of 3 dwelling units per acre, you can get about 4, so an increase of 1. So during the UBO Advisory Committee meeting, members discussed a new district. And they found that there were opportunities based off of the findings that we found with the non-conforming lot analysis. So they proposed creating a new R2A district, which is what you see here. These are districts that are single unit detached residential houses, but on slightly smaller lots. The proposal would allow for 6,000 square foot lot minimums with a 65 foot minimum lot width. And so the house would be set back 25 feet from the front property line and maintain a 10 foot side yard setback. This new district would allow a maximum density of about 7 homes per acre. So we actually have 2 planned unit developments similar to this in Yorkville now. On the left is a neighborhood in Grand Reserve. This is within the age targeted area of the development. And the example on the right is Heartland Meadows, which is an age restricted planned unit development. As smaller lot sizes than what we're proposing in the R2A, they're about 5,000 square feet, and a smaller lot width, they are about 50 feet wide. The side yards are also 5 feet apart, so building to building, there's only 10 feet. And finally, on this slide, during those discussions and the meetings with the members, we kind of went through if the R2A district should be allowed outright or if it should just be for those age-restricted developments. Because we did do a study recently which showed that the city did lack needed housing stock for our senior residents. And it was also mentioned in the 2016 comprehensive plan that we should target development for senior development. So far, the consensus from the advisory committee was to go ahead with the R2A districts outright. And we also, you know, considered if we should just leave the current densities for the R1 and R2 district as they are. And that was recommended to be revised. So right now, we have not had a final recommendation from our advisory committee, but these are some examples of the density changes that are being discussed.
So just to kind of wrap up that discussion and reiterate kind of the mayor's question, you have 3 changes to the minimum lot size for the R1 and R2, and then the creation of an R2A with or without age restrictions. The committee is recommending changes to those, and those changes are going to be incorporated pretty broadly within the entire UDO document, within the plan, and then within the public-facing presentation that eventually is going to occur at a town hall meeting at some point here in the next few weeks. So given the mayor's objection to some of the density requirements, we felt it was good to just raise the issue to see if there was consensus among the city council as to whether they wanted to still be open-minded about the UDO's recommendation for the density reductions, or density increases, lot size reductions, excuse me. Or if we wanted to provide feedback on that now, which would save a bit of staff time in creation of the document and potentially some of the public discussion going forward.
Thank you, Bart. And Christy, just, well, not necessarily for Christy, but just to clarify, Christy brought up a couple of the developments here. Is that Heartland Meadows?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, that does have smaller lots than this proposed, but it is age-restricted. And that had to go through, was it a PUD process?
Yes.
Yeah, so the real difference to me is I'm not opposed to, for me, I like those types of developments. As Christy said, we need housing for seniors who maybe don't want to be in a duplex or a townhome, but they don't want a big lot. I know my mother's been in one for over 20 years. I'm not opposed to that, but I think there's a proper way to approve those, bringing it through the process and not granting it as a standard. This proposal would not only grant that as a standard, grant for anything as a standard zoning without having, you know, the in-depth discussions that we would have through a PUD process. So I just, again, I can't support this as it's proposed, but I think it's good that we get some feedback from people. Ken, sorry.
So I think Heartland, if I remember right, when that one came in, there was some
Heartland or Heartland Meadows?
The Heartland Meadows, the older.
Okay.
I remember.
Would you qualify for that?
Huh?
Would you qualify for that, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I remember there was fire issues. The buildings had to be made a certain way, if I remember right, where, because of the fire, if you got a fire on one unit, you could go, it could take off on you and you could burn out several units. So if I remember that discussion then, and I personally, I can't see these small size lots, I just can't support that. So.
Okay. Others? Joe?
I'd be probably hesitant on the first two, changing them, but definitely that R2A, I'd flat vote no on it.
Others? Chris?
Couple points. Obviously, Chris, you mentioned this has been a long discussion that we've had on this. A
couple years, probably, has it?
Technically, we started this over 4 years ago.
And then COVID hit, you held it off for a year.
Had a little hiatus with COVID, and then it got back going. So, but this has been, there have been countless hours of staff time, consultant time, and the committee meetings. So, but to this point, a couple of things I want to point out is the two projects that Christy mentioned, the Heartland Meadows and Grand Reserve. Those both have 5 foot side yard setbacks, so a 10 foot combined. The proposal is actually a 10 foot side yard setback, so 20 feet total. So building to building separation, to like Ken's point, the fire issue, that's been mitigated. There's a lot more separation between the buildings. So it gives you a more open feel to those. But the one thing that I really want to point out is that there have been a couple associations, you know, one to Aventura and Oswego. That is the best way to put that type of project is a deconstructed apartment complex. There is nothing public to that development. There are no public streets, no public parks, no public open spaces. It's 100% private. There's not even a park in there. There's a stormwater basin. So when we talk about that piece of property being 7.2 units to the acre, when you take a piece of property that's, you know, the 6,000 square foot single family detached lots, you factor in public streets, the requirement of stormwater facilities, et cetera, your effective density gets brought down from 7.26 to 4.53. Traditionally, within the community, Yorkville, when we've looked at density, it's holistic on the entire site. So you have two different parts of density. Gross density, which is the entire property that you're talking about, that includes all facets of the development. But then your net density is just, the way that's being portrayed here, net density is just the area of the lot. Now, it's not a really good representation because you can't actually build, say, an 8,000, 6,000, 12,000 square foot lot without access. You have to have a public road network to get to that, unless you're doing a Aventura type project, which is a no front yard, no setbacks, private streets type of development. So the characterization of the high density, I want to be cautious of that because there's a lot of other factors that go into this. And this has been something that's been vetted quite heavily through the committee for these. So I want to, you know, the R1, R2, those are the reconfigurations, B2000, 12,000, those minimal. But the characterization of density is my concern here, that we're not really looking at it as it really should be in terms of what the actual gross density is and characterizing it correctly with other projects. That saying that Yorkville has higher proposed densities than other communities such as Oswego or Aurora even, those are a mischaracterization. If you look at some of the surrounding communities, the proposal is on par with what is either in place for others or is being proposed. Oswego in particular right now, their UDO proposal actually has lots that are going to be in the 7,000 square foot range. They allow right now 8,000 square foot lots, but they're proposing to bring their lot sizes down even further. If you go to Plainfield has 6,000 square foot lots. Those are the exact same numbers we're talking about, the 7.26 lot only density or 4.53, which is the effective density of the entire site. And then I could go through others that are having similar types of densities and uses. Aurora has single family dwelling units that are actually 5,000 square feet. So we're not out of line, because what this really is doing, what the committee wanted to do, is provide housing stock, housing opportunities for Yorkville. Yorkville right now is a bedroom community, single family detached. We do have apartments, we do have some townhomes and a couple of condo facilities. But in terms of what the market demand is, this type of lot configuration, the smaller lots is where the trend is going, and it has been for the past 10 years. Home ownership has been a lot of, they want the bigger home, they want the amenities, but not as much of the yard, the maintenance, et cetera. So it's not that we're trying to change what our standard is, it's trying to provide housing options within our community, something that Yorkville has truly lacked for many, many years. So I just want everyone to be open-minded on the option. The mayor alluded to the fact that, or actually no, Park alluded to that this is going to public hearing. There's a couple public forums that this is going to go to before it comes back for city council, and there is one more UDO committee meeting where it'll be kind of final flushed out before it goes to the public.
Thank you. And Chris, you know substantially more about this than probably anyone but Christy, because you're chairing the committee. Yeah, no, other than Christy, because A, you're chair of the committee, and B, this is the business you're in. It's going to cities and proposing developments that, you know, make profit for the company you work for. So I understand that completely. I will say this, if we aren't going to have a proposed, whatever the terminology is, gross density of 7 per acre, why have that as an option? The second thing I would say is, I live in Yorkville. I represent Yorkville. I actually lived in a townhome with 4 kids for a while. So there are options. And then we moved to a house with a bigger lot. But I don't have residents of Yorkville coming to me saying, we want smaller lots. As far as I know, Yorkville the past 3 or 4 years has been one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing town in the state of Illinois. Maybe in 20 years, this might need some consideration. As far as I'm concerned, this is dead on arrival. I don't have residents coming to me saying, I would love to live in Yorkville in a smaller lot. I don't have people come to me say, I didn't come to Yorkville because I couldn't get a small lot. We're getting, 300-400 homes a year the last few years, and it's not because we have 6,000-foot lots. I don't need to be like Oswego. I don't need to be like Chicago or Aurora, or I was reading about this in Auckland, New Zealand. I don't need to be like those towns. I like Yorkville the way it is. Anyone else?
With the Harlan Meadows, that was a special use that came before the city. They have smaller lots.
It's a PUD, so it was in front of city council basically to allow that type of density in that small of a lot. We stuck an age restriction by title through the PUD process, and a couple other things that we worked through as a result of being able to negotiate with the developer at a city council meeting.
So as I see it, I went over to look at those. Without doing that, those lots would have been pretty much useless for development if that wouldn't have gone through. There was not enough room to meet conforming standards.
They would have needed city council approval to do what they ended up doing, and under the current proposal, in general, it would be closer to being outright permitted. When you create a new zoning district, there's no properties in town that are going to be zoned R2A for when you create it. So theoretically, every property that wants to be R2A would have to come in front of the city council for, you know, approval in some way or another, either through a PUD or some sort of special use or rezoning. So you can gatekeep it in that regard, but once you have a property that is R2A zoning, they can continue to build on that in perpetuity, as long as that zoning district exists and those bulk regulations exist.
So,
I'm not opposed to the R2A in certain circumstances, but as long as it's something that was reviewed and voted on, I would not be opposed to that, but the other two,
okay. So regarding the R2A, like Harlan Meadows, the way the process works now, that density, we can't allow it, but it's a more rigorous discussion with staff. There's more thought put into it than just the standard. It's allowed, and it needs to come before the city council for discussion and approval. But under this, it would be harder to say no if somebody has a piece of property and it meets the criteria. It's harder to say no. And the other thing we have to keep in mind is with these higher densities, I hear it all the time. Our taxes are so dang high. They're so dang high. 70% of your property taxes go to school. Can you imagine if we had hundreds and thousands of these in our school district? That's how many more potential kids in the school district on a smaller piece of property. And again, I live in a town. I'm not criticizing smaller homes and stuff. I just do not hear people who live in our community, who we represent, say, we want smaller lots or we're leaving York. I just don't hear it. So we have, right now, under the current rules, we have a way to handle that. If somebody comes forward and says they got a great plan, we want to age restrict it. We can look at
that. That's what I'm saying, I'm in favor of this way it's currently structured.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're on the same page of understanding. And again, I understand what Chris is saying, and I've read about it in other towns. I just, the more I thought about it, because Christy presented this to me, actually it was Jason's last day here for the city, and he did a fantastic job. It was actually probably the best work I've seen, you know, out of Jason since the 4 years I was here. He did a great job. And they asked me to think about it, and I said, I'm not sure, but I'll think about it. And I thought about it, and I talked to different people. It wasn't just I woke up one day and said, I'm against this. I thought about it, and I talked to people and said, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And not one person who's not in the building business, not one person said, we need this in Yorkville. Not one. So that's where I decided, you know what, I'm not supporting it. And I would rather be upfront with it instead of, you know, blasting at a meeting when we're getting ready to vote on something. I'd rather bring forward and have that discussion. Others?
A couple points.
Yeah.
The one about, let me go back here. I'm trying to think of how I want to put it. So the one about the lot sizes and you know, how many, or the impact on our taxes that we would have potentially. So the one thing that I would say with this, the lower, called smaller lot size, the narrower the lot size, the more practical it is actually to pay for that utility. So water, sanitary, anything you put in the ground, roads, the narrower lots actually are more efficient than the wider lots because you're actually paying, you have more people paying into that infrastructure for those lots. So that is one thing that is beneficial to us. I just lost a train of thought on my other, I had two other
thoughts. Come back to it if you want.
Make notes. I will, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and again, Chris, you talk about the gross versus net density. And I had this conversation with Christy. I consider, again, I like the PUD process. For example, Autumn Creek and Grand Reserve, they have some smaller lots. They went through a PUD process where the council could say, we're not opposed to smaller lots and these specific lots, but the overall density of the project has to meet our standards, and they provide more open space. And to your point, yeah, you could have less, you could have less roadway and less water and sewer, less infrastructure to pay for maintenance in the future if you have smaller lots. But maybe you allow smaller lots with more open space. But again, there's no reason. People can do that now through a PUD. To just allow it as a standard, I think it's, for our town, it's just not the right fit today. Can't say it won't be in 10 or 20 years, but today it's not.
So the one just came back to me. So the PUD process absolutely has a place for it. But the one thing that this UDO is trying to do is remove non-conformity. So it's trying to bring in line a lot of the items that are non-conforming. So that's where we were realigning those top, you know, R1, R2, and then this one, the R2A. Those first two are to bring into conformity lots that weren't necessarily in conformance.
But they were approved by the city at one time.
Yes.
I can't say there's not an oddball outlier. But those, you know, to be clear, those lots were approved by the city at one point. So they were legal under the city rules at one point. The city changed the rules to make them outdated. There's a real easy way to do it. It might take a little staff time. We could just say they're allowed, period.
But even to that point, so you have the standards, but PUDs inherently allow non-conformity. Because you're creating a set of deviations or variances from the ordinances under that agreement. It's an agreement that you come to terms with that, you know, if the standard's 12,000, but you're saying, well, we'll give you 10,000, we'll give you smaller setbacks on the front yard, et cetera, et cetera.
That the elected officials vote on.
And that's where the nonconformity comes in. That's what we're trying to remedy with a lot of the UDO. But to that point, the comprehensive plan sets where zoning districts are intended to be. That's our governing document that sets where we should have everything laid out. Secondly, the point was made that R2A will not exist on the map for any current zoning if it were to be approved. That would have to have somebody come in, petition to have a rezoning on their property. So that Plan Commission and the City Council have to approve a rezoning. So to say that we're just going to automatically approve these is not the case, because nothing has a zoning of R2A in the city if this is approved on day one. It has to go through that rezoning process.
The threshold to refuse it, if it's there, is a lot lower than it is under the circumstances now.
Because you're saying it has to go through the PUD process.
But yes, and
in place.
And if we have our comp plan that something allows R2A, because why would you have zoning if you don't allow it in your town? So if we have a comp plan that allows R2A and Farmer John's farm, and Farmer John comes in and says, I want to do this, it's a lot harder to say no than it is to a PUD, because our comp plan already allows it. And I'm saying, I don't think it should be allowed as standard. And we can agree or disagree on that, but as a standard, it shouldn't be allowed. We have tools. If development company A, B, or C, or XYZ wants to come forward and say, hey, we got a great plan, they can present it, can go through the process, we can hear it, and we can give feedback. Right now, there'd be less of that. It's a lower threshold. And I understand your expertise. You do this. You understand way better than any of us. But I can tell you, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of it, nobody in town who lives in this town, other than you, has asked me for this.
So, yeah, I have the whole logic of it all. So we want to allow the higher density so we can tie all things in a nice little bow, it sounds like to me. And I don't agree with that. I think that's, so you have some stuff that doesn't meet the requirement, and that was done by previous councils, way before my time on a council even, I think. Yeah, it had to be early 2000s, I'm guessing. So I don't really understand why you want to allow the higher density because you want to tighten up the bow on the package, is what it sounds like to me, and I don't know if I agree with that part either. And then another question I got is, what stops people from wanting to come in and rezone their property? Like, I have an acre, okay? And I want to tear my house down and put four houses in, if I'm allowed to do it.
Or seven.
Well, I'm not. You know how I feel.
No, I
so, but I can put four easily on that 1 acre, and then I just think that it's just, and then I have just one house in a built-out subdivision. What do you do about a subdivision that doesn't have that? It could be a lot easier to do it.
Other comments?
Are we focusing just on density, or should I make a comment about all sorts of other things that this council is going to have to deal with the proposed UDO?
So
we spent 2 days, 6 hours on signs? Yeah? Outdoor lighting? There's all sorts of things this ordinance is covering.
No, I agree. This is not a referendum on the ordinance as a whole. This was a portion that, to me, changes potentially the character of our town. This is the biggest portion. I'm not disagreeing that there are other portions, and we're going to have it come forward after it goes through the process. We're going to have it come to the council, and I think we're going to need to spend a couple meetings breaking out in chunks, because what do they say, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time or something? I guess you shouldn't eat an elephant now, but a big watermelon one bite at a time. But so Dan, yes, there are things we're going to need to talk about. I just wanted to give feedback because I was real clear with staff where I stood on this. And after we talked about it, after I got some feedback from some of you after the last meeting, you know, Christy and Bart said, let's talk about it and see where people are. At least we can give the UDO committee direction. They can do whatever they want, but at least I'd rather be fair to them and say, you know what, we're not real excited about this, or maybe you are. At least they know.
Well, my position was when we went through it over the last 3 years is, if the market dictates that this is the kind of housing product that people are going to want, then we should make it available to them with as minimal interference and restriction as possible. Now, the city can still control what percentage of future developments are going to be zoned R2A, right? We don't have to grant it to everyone. Like Chris said, if someone comes in and wants to rezone, because this zoning category doesn't exist right now, so if someone wants to develop a large parcel of property, we can say, and they say, we want R1, R2, and R2A. We can control how much of that development is zoned for each of those three particular categories, right?
Theoretically, yes, you can.
So the city still has control as to how many
of these R2A zones can be created. So, I understand everyone's concerned with it. I just don't see the entire future development of this community all becoming R2A. I understand.
Dan, that's fair. I'll go back to, I've never had anyone who lives in the town. Okay, I stand corrected. There's two of you now. Anyone who lives in town has said, we would have come to Yorkville sooner if we had smaller lots. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, and I get, you know, I'm kind of a libertarian myself when it comes to the market, but I will say this. Taking your logic the next step, I've had people come to me and say, we want to put 8-story apartment buildings like they have in Montgomery. And I said, that's not going to fly in this council. And I don't think it would fly. So, you know, that was the market there. The market is asking for that. So why don't we just open up and eliminate all zoning and say, you know what? If you want to put a factory next to residential, let's do that, because that's the market. That's what you're talking about.
But we as a municipality still control whether or not that happens.
And I'm saying I don't want it, so why offer it? That's my position. And I understand your position. I just disagree with it. We don't need it today. Has anyone asked you, any resident of Yorkville said to you, hey, I want to build a house on a smaller lot?
I don't think people realize that this type of development exists.
Not in Yorkville. It doesn't. That's why they come to Yorkville, because we're unique.
None of us knew about this until it came forward over the last 6 months.
I disagree. I've been to Chicago, and they got real small lots. And I don't want to be like Chicago.
I don't think anyone here wants to be like Chicago.
No, I mean, this is going to be like some other towns that I don't want to be like. Ken, did I see your hand?
Well, one other question. So the whole thing, if a subdivision came in and they said it had 1-acre lots, okay, and they got built out, how does the effect go if someone wants to tear down a house and put 4 in that? Can they do that?
So they have to go through a subdivision, so a final plat process, which will come before city council as well. And if they have to rezone, that will go through a public hearing process.
But if your new rules allow it, how do you tell them they can't do it then?
They would go through the subdivision process because they would have to divide.
And that goes for a subdivision that's 20 years old or 30 years old?
So, Christy, if I could. I think what you're getting at is you're
taking. It happens in Naperville all the time.
Right. So take one of your large lot subdivisions, White Oak. They've got 1-2 acre lots. You're thinking somebody there wants to tear down and develop 3-4 lots on one. Well, that's an estate zoning, so it's an R1, but you want to put within it an R2A. That starts to get borderline spot zoning because you're approving a singular within a...
Christy, let Christy go.
That also wouldn't happen because there is also the PUD process. I don't think White Oak is a PUD,
no. But
it does have an HOA. So if the HOA standards say that the minimum lot size has to be an acre, then it couldn't come to the city.
So like Greenbrier, for example.
There are a lot of variables involved in your scenario there. You can do some subdivisions without city council approval. You can do some subdivisions. Most of them require city council approval. There's all sorts of rules on like no flag lots. You have to meet all the setbacks. You've got to meet the bulk regulations within zoning.
But if you allow the precedent, do you have to work? Then do you have to defend it harder?
If you allow it, you have to give somebody a reason why they can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just do it.
Apples to apples, yeah, sure.
I mean, and Ken, I don't know if that would happen or not. It could. I'm not going to say it would happen.
My first thought is somebody has a big lot.
Well, you know, back to Dan's point, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole today because we're going to have other discussion on this. There's a proposal to allow smaller housing on existing lots, accessory dwelling units, and like in garages and stuff like that. And that's, we're going to discuss that too. I want to be upfront and say, I'm not supporting this. If it comes forward with this in it, I will not support it. And I'm not hearing a lot of support for it. I'm hearing a couple people support it, but I'm not hearing overwhelming support. But I think you got some, at least direction from this group, at least a few who have spoken, 3 or 4, they're not excited about it. And I'm not excited about it either. So you obviously are in your committee going to do what you want, but just forewarn them. I think, Christy, you need to forewarn them as all. If it's in there, this is going to have a real hard time passing as proposed.
So just in an effort to kind of get some direction here, we've heard from Ken, Craig, and Joe that they're hesitant to, you know, shrink the lot size, et cetera. Dan and Chris have spoken in general okay with it. It would be helpful for us to hear from everybody else just so that we have an idea of whether we need to spend a bunch of staff time either preparing multiple scenarios or to change direction or to keep going as it is. So.
Not generally in favor.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone who hasn't spoken have any thoughts? If not, I mean,
Siebert, Rusty.
I'm with John.
Okay. Rusty, any thoughts?
Why do we need to shrink the lot size to make them into, you know, all be conforming now? If they were approved before, why are we going back and rehashing all of this?
Okay. Thank you. Good discussion. And again, Dan, I appreciate your comments. I really feel, Christy, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Christy was hoping to bring this forward and get it voted on in September. I said, I think we're going to need a couple city council meetings to discuss this. So I think tonight is, you know.
Mr. Mayor, it's taken us 4 years with a little hiatus. Three years if you don't count the COVID.
Yeah.
There's a lot of changes that this ordinance is proposing.
So. Yeah, and there are some good things to it. There are absolutely good things.
But yeah, there are some things that are.
We need to discuss. Like this.
It cluster developments. I don't know if we want to get into that now.
I mean, that's going to be there it's a difference. That literally, Dan, just to give a little context of the intensity of this, we spent two meetings, 3 hours each, going through signage. Because once you go down that rabbit hole, it gets very, very complicated very, very quickly.
How about lollipop signs? Just kidding, Craig. Just or Chris. Just kidding. We can discuss that later.
But we had a heated discussion about whether or not to allow developments with single car garages as opposed to requiring double car garages, two car garages, right?
Yes.
So there's a lot of work to this entire development code that we proposed. And I think overall it's going to be a benefit. I'm not talking in regards to the specific changes, but the ease that staff is going to have, the ease that developers are going to have, and the ease that citizens are going to access information, it's going to be a positive thing when it gets passed.
I agree with that. It's just the devil's in the details, and the 3-4 years you put into it, I'm not predicting it's going to be another 3 or 4 years, but we're going to have some discussion. And this is a good step. So thank you all for your input. I know it helps staff because they heard my opinion very clearly. And
how many people are on the UDO?
Five.
Five?
There were seven, but there are five.
Originally, we started with
nine.
Yeah, it was nine. And then we had.
Can we get a list of that? Who's on that?
I can tell you myself. Dan,
I know you too, but
Deb Horaz, Dave Schultz, and
Jeff Olson.
Jeff Olson. So we have a couple members from the Planning Commission, one who's just a community member, an engineer, and then Dan and myself.
And we will be having an opening on the Planning Commission shortly. Mm-hmm. Just so you all know. Okay. Thank you all. That took care of items 1, 2, and 3.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, good discussion. I like that. Public hearing. Do we have a public hearing on anything?
No.
Oh, by the way, I like the new shirts. I just want to tell you, I like the new shirts. I don't wear yours, Mike, but I like the new blue shirts. Are there any citizen comments on agenda items? I know we already discussed this, but are there any citizen comments, anything on the agenda? Consent agenda, we have bills totaling $1,043,548.67. Mr. Koch and Mr. Soling, did I hear you make a motion? Second?
So moved.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Mayor's report. No, I had a corny joke. I'll save that for next time. If I remember. Okay, under Mayor's Report, we have, this is exciting, very exciting, actually. A resolution approving a Memorandum of Understanding with the Yorkville Congregational United Church of Christ. And this is in regards to the playground. Is there a motion and a second?
Motion.
Second.
Terulis, and who was the second? Soling? Okay, Tim, do you want to talk about this a little bit at all?
We spoke a lot about this at the last meeting. This is basically a final agreement with the Church of has already signed off and approved it. Goes over everything that we discussed with the council over the last year, taking over the property there over by Congregational Church. With that, you know, them donating the land, $100,000 worth of improvements into that land with a playground, a sledding hill, sidewalks, shelter, and things of that nature. And we would take ownership of the land.
Questions, comments?
One question on the reverter. It refers to the if the property ceases to be used for YUCC purposes.
Park purposes. Park purposes, not church purposes.
Okay, I just want to make sure that if it's...
If the church goes away, the reverter becomes null and void.
Okay.
And so that...
Is there a time on what constitutes...
There is no time.
So there's no governing mechanism to say what constitutes.
Correct. Correct.
That's a good question, but the park would still stay the city's, correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so if the church quits operating as a church, the park doesn't go away.
Right. Okay.
This is a commitment to keep that land as
so that
a park
revert
perpetually.
Back.
Okay. And that only is lost if the church closes.
What if a different church took it over and they decided they didn't want it?
The wording says that church that was the donor of the land.
It's non-transferable, correct?
Right, yes, and I'll double back on that. That you also realize that was the condition of the donation, too. So it wasn't my idea or anyone in the city's idea.
Ken, or do you need any more? Okay.
That was only
my question. Chris, do you have anything else?
Do we have, so there's a park there. Obviously, there's the street frontage, so if residents wanted to park, they could park on the street, but are residents allowed to park in the parking lot?
They are allowed to park in the parking lot,
okay.
But we will not be maintaining the lot.
Right, yeah, it's very clear that's there.
Yeah, we'll be paving the gravel area.
It's their maintenance obligation.
Yes, but they fully expect people will park there. People park there now, even if they'll use the movie theater and things of that nature periodically.
Okay. Other questions? I think it's exciting. Subdivision's been there 50 plus years. And I had talked to a couple other parcels, or talked to other people about other parcels in there over the past couple years, and I got some real strong pushback, and so I was excited. Tim and his staff did a great job getting this going.
The original developers of that, you know, the buildings that were in the middle might have put parked there.
I
don't.
I tell you what, if I could have a word with them, I would. But I'd like to actually. So, but it's exciting. We appreciate the cooperation of the church. It's just a great partnership. So, we'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Thanks to the church. It's awesome. Okay, next we have disposal of police department vehicles. I'm looking for a motion and second so we can...
Second.
Okay, who was that? Koch and Merrick for two vehicles. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have looking for a motion to approve the continuation of the services of Imperial Services System through 83123 if we need them. That's to clean this building until the new company's on board.
So moved.
Second.
Soling, Transier, discussion, roll call.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next I'm gonna turn this over to Christy. This is for discussion only, is that correct?
Correct.
This is important, you know, we just talked about the UDO. This is for the Green Door project specifically, but it could apply to others in the future. And we wanna make sure it's covered, whether it's under the UDO or the current text, because this company, this organization, they're real excited about moving forward. So Christy, please take it over.
Okay, so this is a simple text amendment to the zoning
going to identify data centers, refrigerated warehouses, which is also known as cold storage, and battery uses as permitted uses within our manufacturing. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Text amendment to the zoning ordinance to allow for the three energy-related uses, which would be data centers, refrigerator warehouses, or cold storage, and battery uses in the manufacturing district, so the M1 and M2. They are implied already in the zoning for M1 and M2 warehouse manufacturing uses, but the client that Green Door has wanted it to be more explicit in the zoning ordinance, so we are defining those uses and then providing parking regulations for them. So this will be part of the UDO as we discussed, but this is running on a parallel track so that it can be approved if the UDO is held up. So this will go for a public hearing at tomorrow night's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Discussion. Chris.
Why do you go directly to me?
Well, you were had that look, and you're going to raise your hand.
I am absolutely in favor of this development in terms of Green Door having a place in Yorkville. I have a slight reservation about outright allowing these three uses within the manufacturing district. This is going to be our largest manufacturing development in the city's history. So, with an outright allowance of these three, you know, we're talking heavy water usage, heavy power usage, sound production that's going to be on the site, batteries. There's a lot of chemicals and other issues on site with those, whether it's just storage or actually manufacture, as is identified in the, some of the text. I just have some reservations about the outright allowance here. We talked earlier about PUD and the reason we have PUD. So this one here, a special use, gives me more comfort. I know it adds a little time to the approval process, but it just gives me a little comfort to have these as special uses.
Other questions or comments? Well, staff's in favor, I'm in favor, and the potential the petitioner is in favor, so I'm looking for support. Greg.
With the battery storage, have there been discussions with PKFB about do they have the capabilities in the event of something catastrophic happening?
So staff has not had individual discussions with PKFB, but that would be part of the approval process to the building permitting phase. So it would be a technical review by staff, all of the other outside agencies that we deal with, YBSD, BKFD, to ensure that this use would be appropriate.
So that's something that is done for these types of developments?
Yes.
You meet with outside agencies?
Yes.
So that would not be unique to this? It's something that's done?
Something we do all the time.
Okay.
But on that comment, so the special use, there's conditions that can be applied to that. If it's something that it's just it's outright approved under the zoning and BKFD doesn't have the wherewithal to do that, would we not be able to put conditions in that would help facilitate it under the special use more readily if that's an issue?
We could. We can also make that part of a building permit condition as well.
Like we did with the lettuce farm, didn't we have some restrictions tied to that as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So
we'll have a development agreement with Green Door.
Okay, we'll have that as well. So we will have some agreements and different different steps where we can address this. Any other questions? Joe?
It's just really a comment. Like, I've built data centers and I've built cold storages and I've done the ammonia systems for them and all that. Everybody keeps bringing up like this huge water use over any other manufacturing. Come to, there's not really one, so I don't know why that's a concern that keeps getting brought up. I mean, like the glycol system, you fill it once, the ammonia doesn't even take water. So everybody, you know, I've heard several times, well, they use a ton of water. Not more or less than any other manufacturing facility, I'd say 10, probably less. So I don't have any reservations for it.
Roll call. I'm looking to amend the motion.
Settle down.
No, I'm trying to move on. Okay, everyone's slow. And I was even cheating, looking at your notes. I'm like, who made the motion? I'm like, Craig Solon didn't make the motion.
No, those are my notes.
I can see those in your notes. Okay, well, excellent. Good discussion. Another good point. Random Mayor's report number 5. Oh, this is, do we have to vote on this one? I forget. The next one? Okay, well, don't let me ask for a vote on this one either. But Christy, go ahead, please, on item 5, the Kendall County Petition 2326, 1.5 mile review.
So this is a mile and a half review. The county, they get petitions and land uses that are incorporated within a mile and a half of our boundary. We do get an opportunity to review it. This particular location is the Milroy Farm. They are looking to extend their current special use permit within the county that was approved for a compost facility. The current use is set to expire in December of 2023 this year. Previously, the city, if you look at the two images below, the city had a portion of this compost facility called Green Organics on our side of the boundary, and that particular development has decommissioned or is in the process of finalizing the decommissioning, and they have to be out of the site and restored in March of next year. So the owner is just looking to extend the compost facility on the county side. So staff did a little bit of review on the plan. We made a couple of recommendations. Right now they're proposing to do 25 windrows, 10-foot drive aisles. They're gonna have a final cure storage area, grinding and blending concrete pad and a receiving pad, as well as a trailer for office uses. Staff requested some buffering between this parcel and the city's parcel because in the future land use for the city side is for residential. We asked for some odor control mechanisms to be put in the agreement, and then we also asked for decommissioning plan and notification if the operator changes. So this, the county was actually responsive in regards to the landscaping requirements, and they were also responsive in the decommissioning plan. They did have some concerns about enforcement of odor, but they will be utilizing their own procedures for handling odor. The county is also coordinating with the petitioner to ensure that the proposed plan that they presented to the IEPA, who actually issues the permit for a compost facility, is consistent with the plan that they've presented to us for review. So we are presenting this at the PCC meeting tomorrow night, and it will come back to the city for final determination at the end of the month. Okay.
Questions for Christy? Not a vote, just questions. No? Okay. Thank you very much. Public Works Committee?
No report.
Economic Development Committee?
No report.
Public Safety Committee?
No report.
Administration Committee?
No report.
Park Board, Tim, what do you want to talk about? Anything coming up?
Just a couple of things, Mr. Mayor. So one, I just want to thank everyone for attending the Police National Night Out event last week. Thank you for the police department having us there. It was a great turnout, great crowd. I don't know if the chief has anything else to say about it, but it was a fantastic event.
Tim's staff's awesome, I guess.
No. So it was a great turnout. It was great having Nick here. I think it really enhanced everything with the City Hall, the new City Hall, the park site here. So fantastic event. I know the county had a great event as well.
Yeah, it was a great event. I saw Matt there. Matt, what did you think? Wasn't that a great event?
Talked to Tim a little bit. A lot of pizza was consumed at the same time.
Yes,
as well,
but it was great.
Kids were having fun. We were in the actual paramedic truck for the BKFD. When they got a live call, so they quickly shipped us out so they could attend to do what they needed to. So
roll the out push.
Yeah. It's a good night when you get the merits out of the end. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was another great job. Super thrilling. We had a lot of, I think, the community service officers were out handing out bottles of water, making sure everybody's taken care of. I don't know if Mike told you, but I actually did the obstacle course. It was meant for the kids. That was enjoyable, too. So, may or may not have made it on Snapchat. So.
That's funny.
Yeah, all in all, another great job.
It was fantastic. The weather cooperated, which helps always.
Yes, it was great. Thursday, we have a outdoor movie night with the City of Oswego at their venue, 1012, thing. If anyone would like to attend, and then we're about 2.5 weeks away from hometown days.
16 days, Tim. 16, exactly. And then after that, you get to relax, right?
It's on to Yorktoberfest.
Excellent. Any questions for Tim? Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission, I think we talked about that. Yep. City Council report, anyone? Anyone? Bueller? City Clerk's report?
No report.
Community and Liaison reports.
Just a quick one on TenCom. So TenCom, we had a special meeting the other day regarding a emergency purchase that was necessary for the organization. As some of you may know, TenCom's power system basically went down. We had an issue with the backup system. So it's an unexpected expense, but it is something that TenCom is fronting. The county board, the finance committee, has said that they would split the cost with us once it comes in. We're basically on our last leg for this, the backup system that is in place, because it was put in place when the building was built. So
the original building, not the expansion?
It is the original building.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's,
yes.
It's been, so 30 years.
So 30 years,
years,
yeah. So this piece of equipment, which
20
is,
years.
I understand.
How much was it, or how much will it be? Just curious.
The estimates we have are, I'm going off on my
memory, if you don't remember,
$175,000. It's a substantial amount of money.
Well, TenCom has $4 or $5 million sitting in the bank. I mean, they got plenty of money. I'm surprised they're asking anyone to split it with them. But
well,
that's what they do.
It is in a facility that is, you know, shared use, but the TenCom operations utilize about 85% of the operations of this, of the equipment. So it is probably more than generous that the county is splitting it, because of that usage, that the taxing use that KenCom has on that one. So we're waiting on bids. This is something that is not going to be remedied for probably 4 or 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Because of the time to get the equipment. So they were able to get a couple parts and fix it, but it's problematic. So this was not supposed to happen.
Well, knock on wood, that doesn't happen before it gets fixed.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the update. That's good. Any others? Greg, any liaison?
Here.
None from the library either, just so you know. staff report?
No reports.
Do we have anything under mayor's report under city building or water updates?
No, not unless anybody has questions.
Okay. Additional business?
Mr. Mayor?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. After the last round of storms, about 10 days ago, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I've received a lot of phone calls and emails, particularly in the older part of town.
It'll be resolved tomorrow.
Okay. I told the people who contacted me that I would bring it up today.
Yeah, nope. That's fine. I received a couple emails myself and frantic phone calls. So,
okay.
Tomorrow.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other additional business? Citizen comments? Executive session, anyone? Report. Motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Second by Plocher, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Oh, I can't vote, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, thank you all.